Chris Andre at 10:15. Stay tuned for Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, we got the Dirtbag. Host Glenn Andreessen and his guest Jim Gilbert discuss the upcoming Home Orchard Society All About Fruit Show, where they talk about they're going to talk about the fruit tasting event that is the preeminent fruit tasting event in the Pacific Northwest. Okay, we're going to go to Air Cascadia.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, October 8th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Your radio because you make it happen. This is where it all begins with you. And may your membership, you make it happen. So today, our guest, we are very fortunate to have Chris Hedges joining us to talk about the USA Patriot Act, how it's permeated every nook and cranny of our culture and of our society, and that we carry on with our lives seemingly oblivious to this miasma of oppression. This began with an article at Truth Dig that Chris Hedges wrote, The Ordeal of Stanley Cohen, Justice as Farce. And this leads us to the news, of course, that on June 1st of 2015, Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act will expire. That's easy to remember, right? 2015, Section 215. The loss of 215 deprives the NSA, of course, of the legal pretext for its bulk domestic phone records dragnet. And also, cut deeper than that, the FBI is going to lose some of its controversial post-9/11 powers to obtain vast amounts of business records. You see, all of this goes back to 9/11. All of it goes back to people flying planes into buildings. A lot of lives were lost, but a mere drop in the bucket of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives lost in other countries that this event touched. We'll be speaking very shortly with Chris Hedges, but until then, there is a great deal going on right here in Cascadia, of course. Police in an East Portland suburb, Gresham, say that a 21-year-old man who had just bought a handgun and was openly carrying it as he walked along the streets of Gresham was robbed of his weapon by another man who also had a gun. Lieutenant Claudio Grandjean says that the guy was robbed early Sunday. Anyway, the victim told police that he was approached by a guy who asked him for a cigarette and then took his gun at gunpoint. Judgment against police brutality, a jury's decision last week to award more than $500,000 to a 40-year-old protester who was repeatedly punched in the head. This is like an average citizen. That's why we mention his age. He wasn't, this was not a hard-haired black bloc, stereotypical bogeyman and that terrifies the public. This was an average Joe who took it upon himself to go out, protest, and was beaten brutally about the head. After 4 days of evidence and argument, finally the jurors voted 9-3, and he was awarded the money. Of course, he's still wounded by the beating that he took at the hands of the Portland police, even though the FBI has been on them for a while now. That said, we have Chris Hedges waiting on the line. Don't want to keep him waiting any longer. We're very, very delighted to welcome you back to the KBOO airwaves. Thanks for being with us, Chris.
Thank you.
So what we talk about on this show constantly is the USA Patriot Act. When I read, I saw your piece in Truth Dig a while back, The Ordeal of Stanley Cohen, which is, of course, an absolute, the epitome of the Patriot Act, the excesses, and the fact that people are living under this cloud of oppression, going about their business as usual, as it were, and not really thinking of it. It is more than past time to roll this thing back. The longer it's in place, the more people simply come to accept that this is how we live today. And no one remembers that we did, in fact, have another way of life. Can you talk a little bit more about the USA Patriot Act, and especially Section 215, what this would, rolling this back, what that means, and how important it is that? Why is this what we need to really focus on here?
Well, the Patriot Act is part of a pattern of both legislative and judicial assaults against our most important and cherished civil liberties, all of which at this point have been virtually eradicated. We don't feel it because the population is passive, most of us, in the same way that when the Nazis declared martial law after the Reichstag fire, people got up and went to work and everything appeared normal and they didn't feel it either. You never want to give the state this kind of power, power of wholesale surveillance, power of stripping citizens of due process, the power of assassinating U.S. citizens, the power of using the military now under Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act to employ the military as a domestic police force and detain U.S. citizens in military facilities, where they are not only stripped of due process, but can be held indefinitely. Because when states take that kind of power, they use it. It's always done or justified in the name of national security, in the name of fighting, in this case, the evils of Islamic terrorism. But we are already seeing increasingly that activists, dissidents, renegades are essentially being treated in the same way that domestic or foreign "quote unquote" terrorists are treated, and that's what always happens. I mean, even the wholesale surveillance, of course, is justified in the name of the war, the so-called war on terror. So, I think that part of the reason that people are complacent is because we live in a period of relative stability, but should, whether through climate change or another economic crisis, there should be significant portions of the population that become restive, then the state has at its disposal both the legal and physical mechanisms by which they can criminalize whole categories of people. And I don't think that we should forget that one of the components of all this is the war on drugs, where in the name of the so-called war on drugs, poor communities, marginal communities, suffer from what the philosopher Hannah Arendt called omnipotent policing, which means, in essence, that these police serve as judge, jury, and executioner. They can kick down your doors in the middle of the night, even for a search warrant for a nonviolent offense. A night raid in a place like Oakland, it doesn't look any different at this point from a night raid in Fallujah. And that omnipotent policing, once you physically create it, Hannah Arendt writes about this vis-a-vis the stateless in Europe with the rise of Nazi Germany, and she, of course, herself was stateless in France. She said once you corrupt the legal system, which we have already done, and once you put into place these physical components, these all-powerful police networks, ostensibly, in our case, to deal with drugs, although I think, Michelle Alexander and others have done a great job of exposing that fallacy, then that marriage is deeply insidious and deeply dangerous because it's almost with a flick of a switch. that you can suddenly find yourself as an ordinary citizen living under martial law. And I think that it's the difference between Al-Qaeda, which was clan-based and family-based, and the difference between groups like ISIS or some of these radical Islamic groups that have risen in Syria is that they have a large component of outside or foreign fighters who can easily come back. And I think that the heavy violence that we've decided to mete out almost ensures some kind of domestic terrorism eventually, because it's a lot easier for these people to get back into the country.
And people have no reason.
And carried out. And at that point, then, you know, it's over.
We have only a few minutes, a couple of minutes left. This is membership drive, so the program is even shorter than usual. I have one question for you that before we let you go. The 9/11 seems to have created such an ideal and perfect conditions for the wholesale privatization, the wholesale, as you talked about, lockdown of an entire nation. It seems ideal. What would the political and cultural social landscape look like had it not been for 9/11? What would our lives today be like? Because it seems to me that this was it couldn't have been a more perfect storm for those who would be interested in privatizing everything and providing us with no recourse, nowhere to run.
Well, you know, systems like this capitalize on a crisis. You know, that's totalitarian systems are very good about that. And our species of corporate totalitarianism is no different. So they took the 9/11 attacks and capitalized on them. And if you know, they didn't have the 9/11 attacks, they would have eventually capitalized on something else. But you know, they used that as a lever to cement into place this kind of what Sheldon Wolin calls system of inverted totalitarianism that has now essentially replaced our democracy. We have a facade of democracy, but we no longer have a democracy in any meaningful way. And you mentioned the column I wrote about Stanley Cohen, the activist attorney. You know, Lynn Stewart was imprisoned and barred. You know, these handful of attorneys who would attempt to challenge the system now are going to prison.
And there are only last recourse.
Chris,
we're completely out of time, but I have to say I cannot thank you enough. I'd like to continue this conversation. Perhaps we can record some more for the website. My guest has been Chris Hedges, and everyone, of course, listening out there knows exactly who that is. This has been Air Cascadia for October 8th of 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks for that. Tammy Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOA AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand, and step up to the plate right now and become a member of KBOO. If you are not already a member, listeners, welcome aboard. And this morning, we have Lynn is
Lynn's
there.
Lynn and Will. Hey, Chris Andre, how are you?
Right there.
It's the invasion of the Brits right here, right here this morning.
Ready to take your hand and
877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. And as Chris Hedges, friend of KBOO, he is on as many shows here as he can do. He was even on Words and Pictures. He is all over the place because he supports us he seems to support democracy. A really good book on that you might want to get is They Can't Represent Us, Reinventing Democracy from Greece to Occupy. Ani Haynes and I interviewed the author last week on our show, and for a $60 minimum donation, you can get this book. You can learn about democracy, what it really is, not this sort of corporate, oligarchical mishmash that we are living through right now, eh, Will?
That is for sure. That is certainly true. And a great thinker and an important writer. Chris Hedges and I share the same birthday, so we're virtually related. And if you pick up the phone,
when
you pick up the phone, please dial 877-500 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And you'll be pledging your support to the terrific show that Chris Andre brings us Monday through Friday. It's one of my rain or shine. It is. Rain or shine, no matter what's going on out in the highway, she gets here and she works incredibly hard on the show. It's one of my favorites. It's like a cannonball of information. It's blown through your mind. And that is offered to you by Chris, and it's on a volunteer basis. But we have to pay the electric bill, and we have to do many other things that cost a bit of money. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266.
Thank you.
Today on Flashpoints, Norbrow's Friedman interviews students and teachers fighting on U.S. campuses for justice and a free Palestine. And later on, an interview with AIM leader founder Bill Means on the Indigenous Climate Summit. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.
And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we continue our coverage of the Palestinian student teacher activist movement happening across this country. There is a battle for Palestinian rights happening on U.S. campuses, and it is a pitched battle. Students and teachers fighting for free speech, fighting to express their perspective on this most censored story. We're delighted to have a series of interviews that relate to a book by Nora Barros Friedman. Nora passed along a couple of interviews she did this week, and let's begin with journalist Ben Norton.
Can you talk about the International Day of Action on College Campuses that recently took place, and why was it organized? What kinds of actions did students participate in around the country and around the world?
Absolutely. So the International Day of Action